didn't say this sooner. I just believed that I was all displaced.
Episode of the Rock and Wrestling Podcast, rockandwrestlingpodcast.podomatic.com. My name is Tyler Black. I am your host. And this week, I'm joined by an awesome individual. He is an artist and a writer and a puro wrestling fanatic. Cool guy from right here in Chicago. Give it up for JB Rowe.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, JB? So JB is the author and illustrator of an awesome comic named Brainbuster 2019, the coolest name for a comic book in history.
Thank you.
So I read your comic and I dig it. I dig it. Tell everyone what your book is all about.
Sure. Well, the book is, it's at the heart of it, it's a wrestling comic. But it's sort of a weird take on the pro wrestling genre. I didn't want to do just a straight pro wrestling book. I thought that might be a little boring. Nobody wants to sit and read a pro wrestling match. You know, like that just doesn't really seem that exciting to most people. So it basically takes place in this like post-apocalyptic world. And there's like mutants and robots and aliens. And it's like, the way I think of it is like a little bit of Mad Max, a little bit of Escape from New York, with a lot of Takasatsu elements
Hell
in
yeah.
it.
Hell yeah. Huge Toku fan right here.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I like the older stuff. I'm not too caught up on any of the newer contemporary stuff. I'm definitely more of like the Showa era fan. Okay.
I mean, but I started watching like Kamen Rider around decade and went back. I mean, I've watched Black and Black RX, some Super Sentai. I watched most of the Kamen Rider from like Agito up to Force, but I haven't watched anything since. But yeah, that's just me. Nobody wants to hear about me. Go on. very Kuniko Man inspired. It reminds me a lot of that.
Yeah, you know, I think that comes just from the fact that they both share that pro wrestling theme and the sort of weird character. Yeah. I never actually read Kuniko Man. I do collect the minifigures.
Okay.
And I have watched the anime, only like the English dub version back when it was airing on American TV.
Yeah, same here. I dug that show, especially like at the end of that series.
Yeah, so I got actually kind of recently started reading the old manga only because, you know, it made sense. It's been something I've been meaning to get into, and a lot of people have been mentioning it when they read my comic, so.
Yeah. And you don't want to accidentally have that great minds think alike thing, so you want to make sure that you're as unique as you can be when delving into a genre that has been explored very thoroughly to give your own unique take on it.
Absolutely, yeah. But also at the same time, I'm kind of glad that I haven't read a lot of Kuniko Man, because then I'm not indirectly throwing in things from that series.
Right.
I don't want too much of a heavy influence in that way. I want to keep it its own weird thing. And, you know, like the Takasatsu elements is really kind of far removed in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. unless, you know, you're really, really looking into it, or, you know, you're having this conversation with me.
Now, the coolest thing about this book is there's a robot Jim Ross.
Yeah. That's funny you picked that up. Yeah, it was just a throwaway thing.
Named 10 AC Lee. Which
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah.
Because
Jeff Jarrett's old manager, yeah. I believe. Yeah.
The Tennessee Stud. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to say that's awesome. And the art is just freaking beautiful. Like, there's some really, really dope, really dope drawings. How long have you been drawing?
Well, drawing, I've been doing it since I was a kid, so I couldn't really pinpoint exactly when I started. I just remember always drawing when I was a kid. So But I haven't really made comics until about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it's a little new to me still. I'm still learning constantly. Prior to that, I was mostly just like an illustrator freelancing, and you know, I went to art school, so I was keeping up, you know, what they call studio practice, I guess. You're just like making a body of work, either to get representation or get more into the academic world. But I eventually kind of dropped that and dove right into comics.
Now, in terms of comics, what are some of your favorite comic series?
Of all time? Oh,
of all time.
That's hard to say. There's definitely...
That's why I didn't say your favorite, just some of your favorite.
Right, right. Yeah. Even that's kind of hard to say. I'm definitely a big fan of like Daniel Klaus's stuff, or Klaus. I guess it doesn't matter, but like his older work, especially he did a book called Like a Velvet Glove Cast in Iron. That's probably one of my favorite books that he's done. I'm a big Alan Moore fan. Who makes comics that doesn't like Alan Moore? I don't know. Actually, there are some people, but yeah. Okay. Grant Morrison's earlier run too, when he was doing stuff like Doom Patrol and Animal Man. I really dug those books a lot. More recent stuff, I haven't really read a whole lot lately. I've just been kind of too busy. I barely have enough time to watch pro wrestling. So the amount of free time I do get, it's definitely just going to pro wrestling. But let's see. Scalped. I remember getting into that a few years ago, really digging that book. My buddy Aaron Conley's book, Sabretooth Swordsman. Fantastic book. He's doing a lot of stuff from Marvel right now. He's doing Rocket and Groot. The IDW run of Ninja Turtles was surprisingly good. I haven't really kept up with it, though.
I've been deep in Batman Ninja Turtles lately.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It just recently came out.
After Morrison quietly dropped off of Batman and Robin, I just kind of stopped paying attention.
Okay. I mean, I've kind of fallen off Batman and comics mostly just because I'm so busy. But I was trolling around the comic shop and I saw Batman and Ninja Turtles on the same book. And I'm like, that's childhood right there. So I have to read this.
Yeah, was it any good? I haven't read it.
If you love Batman and you love Ninja Turtles, you'll enjoy it.
Fair enough. I think I know someone that worked on that book, if it's a book I'm thinking of.
Okay, I mean, it's still running.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still running.
Okay.
But let's see. So, pro wrestling. You're a big wrestling fan, obviously, because you wrote this awesome Brainbuster comic. How did you get into wrestling?
I was watching it when I was really, really young. Actually, the earliest memory I have was from like 93 or 92. So I was very young. I'm 29 now. So at that time, I had to have been like 4 or 5. But it's something that I very, very clearly remember. It was a match between Big Boss Man. And at the time, he was in a feud with that Canadian Mountie.
The Mountie, right.
I remember him being handcuffed. Boss Man was handcuffed to the ropes, and the Mountie was just like, you know, kayfabe shocking him with his stick. And I remember that image just kind of being burned into my head. And then also, I think in that same main event, Macho Man was on that card too. And it was just like these bombastic characters. And you know, not only am I that young, but it's also at that time where like people are kind of aware that it's not all real, but there's still that believability factor. Right. So I'm just thinking, like, why are they letting this man shock this other man to death? I don't understand. But yeah, I was just like really drawn into it. And then growing up, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, we were kind of spoiled in a sense with where wrestling was at growing up. And that was like when the Attitude Era was kicking off. I got back into it when I was probably around 12, working at a flea market that my dad worked at. And there was this dude that used to be a ref for house shows for WWF. And he had a booth of official WWF merch. It was the first time I'd ever seen that, like legit WWF licensed merchandise. So he had like tapes and shirts and action figures. And I was just like, whoa, got really, really into it. I would just spend hours just watching these tapes and buying them and getting caught up with what I'd missed between, I guess, like the new generation era.
Right.
There was like a drop in viewership, me being one of those people that dropped out. Yeah. And, you know, we were spoiled, man. Especially around like 2001 to 2002. That stuff was amazing.
When I was a kid, I didn't have cable, so I could only watch wrestling on Saturdays. And in the morning, it was WCW Worldwide, and Saturday night was Shotgun Saturday Night. I would tape it all the time, just watch it all week long, just watch the same tape of WCW and WWF all day. And like you would see like jobber matches and you see highlights from the big shows. So like growing up as a kid, my favorite wrestlers were like the Hardys before the Hardys were like the Hardys and like all the luchadors and stuff. And like Ultimo Dragon and Jushin Liger were always on those shows. So that's how I got into like Japanese wrestling. So when I got the internet, the first things I would start doing is like looking up Ultimo Dragon matches and like just diving into that hole. Like, how did you find Japanese wrestling?
I mean, I found Japanese wrestling kind of recently, within the last 3 years. I always knew it was out there because, like you, because of what we were getting through WCW, we are, you know, it was the first time really that a major American audience was getting to see this talent, not only just from Japan, but also even Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, like dudes that no one had ever heard of before, and they were fantastic. Guys like, you know, La Parca and the entire Guerrero family, and like you said, Ultimo Dragon and Great Muda, and like just all these amazing talents that that was just such a huge new thing for everyone. But recently I got into New Japan and Noah. I stopped watching wrestling around the time when SmackDown kind of dropped in quality.
Okay.
Might have been when they were doing the brand war or whatever, brand split. And I got back into it watching like random promos and just kind of like casually taking parts and like, okay, like that was cool and stuff. And I don't know. I just started watching more and more until eventually I found myself watching full matches. And then I started watching these videos on YouTube that would like randomly show up of Prince Devitt. And I would see these entrances that he would pull off as Prince Devitt. I was just like, what is this? Is this what pro wrestling is now? Because if it is, I am all fucking in. So, yeah, once I saw the Devitt entrance from one of the Wrestle Kingdoms where he comes out in a coffin.
Nice. Yeah, I love that one.
Oh, man. I was like, yep, watching this now. So I got way into it because of that. And everything. It's weird because at that point, that was a point where suddenly WWE was starting to take heed to New Japan talent and picking up guys like Devitt, guys like Kenta coming from Noah. Like, that was a big deal.
One of the first ROH shows I went to, I lived in Kansas City for a long time, and I begged my mom to give me a ticket to Chicago to see Kenta versus Austin Aries, and that's still one of the best matches I've ever seen live.
What Austin was that, if you don't mind?
And I also saw, when I went to college here, I saw Kota Ibushi and El Generico at Ring of Honor. So yeah, that also helped me really get more back into watching Japanese wrestling, watch like Mazawa matches. Like all the time, I would just
binge watch
Mazawa matches. But the main reason we're here today, ladies and gentlemen, is
that's awesome. You saw him. When was that?
When was what match?
When did you see Mazawa?
I didn't see Mazawa live, but I just watching Kenta led me to watching Mazawa. Because Kenta was in Noah, and I would want to watch Kenta matches, and he had this awesome match with Misawa in Noah. Then he had one in Ring of Honor, and I watched that one as well. So then I watched everything Misawa. So those matches with Kobashi and Kawada, all those awesome matches from like the 90s and All Japan and the early Noah stuff.
Hell yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, it's fine. Everything kind of glitched up a little bit. So it was like you were talking from the past. It got kind of weird. But yeah, so the reason we're here today is New Japan had a big show last weekend called Invasion Attack. One of my favorite shows of the year, consistently, is the Invasion Attack show. And we are going to review the hell out of it. So what were your overall thoughts on Invasion Attack before we dive into this card?
I loved it. It was definitely... it was awesome. I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words because I rewatched it again, and it's a great pay-per-view. I think what New Japan had done after losing as much talent, so many like Smart Mark folks were on the internet like, oh, New Japan's over. Like, this is the end for them. It's like, no, it's not. Look at this. They have all this amazing top tier talent.
I think it's really a testament of New Japan's quality on how they can bounce back from losing something as big as Nakamura, who's arguably probably the best wrestler in the world right now, and just say, hey, we're still New Japan. Like, we gave you Nakamura. Think what else we can give you. And this is what they gave us.
Absolutely. And it was a great show. I'm really excited to talk about it.
All right, so let's run down this card. So opening match, we had the Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, and Yujiro taking on Juice Robinson, the former CJ Parker, and Ryusuke Taguchi. It was an okay match. Now, here's the thing. The Bullet Club seems to be pretty much done right now, do you think?
They seem to be together still, but it looks like they are no longer the prominent heel stable.
Right. I think. Seems like they're splintering off into their separate groups.
Yeah, which is smart, I think.
Like, I see zero reason for Fale and Yujiro to be together at this point.
Right.
But, Fale beat, who did he pin? He pinned Taguchi with the Bad Luck Fall. Very basic opening match. Nothing too spectacular. I think Fale's cool, but I don't think he's as good as he's pushed. Like, because they're always putting him in matches with Tanahashi, and Tanahashi's awesome. He gets good matches out of him, but not great matches. What do you think of Fale?
Yeah. I mean, Fale is definitely the type of big guy wrestler you need in any promotion. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't stand out beyond his size. And I agree with you. I don't understand why they push him at all. But you know, you need a guy his size. You need a big dude like that to work certain matches into the crowd. And, you know, the Japanese crowd loves that kind of stuff. So,
Of course. Next up, we had the third generation, Liger, Kojima, and Nagata against Chaos, Sakuraba, Toriano, one of my favorites, and Yoshihashi. And then we had Nagata getting the win for his team. What did you think of this six man?
It's fine. You know, the two opening tag matches were they were pretty comparable, I would say, in terms of quality.
I think the most important thing about these opening matches is how everything that happened in the opening matches set up for the outcomes of the main event matches. Like Fale getting the win and Nagata getting the win. And in the next match, Ishii getting the win over, I believe he pinned Evil in the third match.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And all those guys on the next show on Dontaku are going to have big matches.
Yeah. I mean, New Japan is really smart with their booking in that sense because they don't have as many, they don't rely as heavily on promos.
Right.
The way WWE and the American products in general work, they're really smart in telling a story in the ring.
Definitely.
So, you know, having these opening tag matches, you can build up to a feud in a really smart way. And we've seen that in the past, obviously, especially with, you know, examples like Nagata and Nakamura when they just start, or even Shibata. Before he started that whole program with Tenzan. Mm-hmm. It's really smart booking. And, you know, they have to book smart because there's so much competition in terms of wrestling promotions, which is why I think, you know, WWE and a lot of other American products are kind of bad about that because they don't have to be good about it. They can just book garbage and people are still going to pay money to see the product. So,
Of course. I just paid money on their product because I'm going to Payback in like 2 weeks.
And you're going to have fun. It's fine.
That's going to be a good show, though. So just like I mentioned, Goto and Ishii beat Los Ingobernables de Japón. They beat Bushi and Evil. and a really decent tag match with the sliding D on Evil.
Yeah, Evil looked really good in this match. I think he's improved quite a bit over the last few months. I can actually take him seriously now. I don't know about you.
I did not like him at all when he was in Ring of Honor. It's like...
Oh, as Watanabe?
Yeah, I was like, I watch New Japan all the time. I've never seen him on New Japan. How is he like their New Japan representative?
Yeah, they weren't really booking him that much.
Yeah, so... It's
which
like,
is why he's perfect in Los Ingobernables, because it's dudes that aren't getting booked well and you know, going to their own, so...
Also, next up, now we're in the big matches. Six title matches all in a row. So we got Matt Sydal and Ricochet defending their junior tag team titles against Roppongi Vice, the team with the best music in pro wrestling today.
Roppongi, yeah.
Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero.
Trent?
Yeah, Trent question mark.
Trent?
Now... We've seen a lot of multi-man junior tag team matches, so it's been a while since we've had a one-team-on-one-team match. This match was fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, those multi-tag matches are fun, and they're a good way to kick off a show. But I understand why they're doing that. I mean, right now, the junior heavyweight tag team division is kind of low. You know, there's not a whole lot of talent in that division. But... yeah, this match was excellent. I had a really great time. And you can't go wrong. Like, the talent in there is here. Ricochet and Matt Sydal, some of the best cruiserweights in the world, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Roppongi Vice, Trent, can hold his own when he wants to. And, I mean, Rocky Romero is awesome. Like, he's a vet, you know?
I honestly forgot that they had won the tag titles before. Until I like went back and looked, I was like, I don't remember them having the tag titles, but they'd be like Young Bucks and then lost them like a month later.
And again, I think that just points to how low on talent they are in that division.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same teams that have been fighting over these belts. They really need more Japanese juniors, because right now it's really like Kushida, and that's like the only Japanese guy. Because after like Taichi and like Taka all went to Noah with Suzuki-gun, it's like they have no Japanese guys in the junior division.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I don't like about the whole New Japan deal with Noah, is there's a lot of really great talent that I think would be doing better in New Japan rather than trying to bolster Noah's talent. And yeah, it's a lost opportunity in a lot of ways, but what do you do?
Yeah, but Roppongi Vice, they won. They hit the Dude Buster Dropkick combo. Got their big win. So, shout out to Chaos doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And next up, we had Kushida defending the Junior Heavyweight Championship against Will Ospreay. Now, have you ever seen Will Ospreay before?
Yeah, I've seen him in a couple of PWG shows prior.
I saw him live the week prior, WrestleMania weekend, wrestling Marty Scurll for the Progress Championship.
Yeah, I was just about to say, he does a lot of Progress shows, which is another great promotion. But yeah, Ospreay's amazing. And for how young he is, he's only, 4 years in the business and he's 22? That is bananas.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And Kushida's fucking awesome.
Oh, Kushida's great. Kushida is seriously one of the most underrated, not even just cruiserweight dudes, just wrestlers, period.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's phenomenal. The fact that he can work any match, you put him against any dude in any scenario, and he will work the hell out of that match. And it'll look legitimate.
Yeah,
and
I think he could do the flippy flop match, he could do the brawling match, he can do the submission style. He does pretty much all of it awesomely.
Yeah, great talent.
Yeah. And the whole working the arm angle in this match where... Ospreay is doing like a handspring, and like Kushida kicks shit out of his arm, and then his arm is fucked for the whole match, and he works over the arm. He goes for another handspring, he can't do it because his arm is dead. So then he does the no-hand handspring off the ropes and then does the kick. That was insane.
Yeah, quality storytelling. And again, this guy's only been doing it 4 years, and the fact that he can sell that well, I mean, man, he sold the hell out of that arm. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. So Kushida put him in the hoverboard lock and tapped him out. awesome performance by Kushida. And then your hero and mine, Jushin Liger, comes out to make the challenge for his title because Jushin Liger won his match earlier, him and Yuji Nagata. So next big show, we're getting Jushin Liger and Kushida. I don't know if that's on Dontaku or the show before that with Kenny Omega in the main event.
Yeah, they didn't really make an announcement yet. I'm going to assume Dontaku, but it's hard to say. Yeah, I'm excited to see that match. I got to say, though, that going back to Ospreay and Kushida, that match was so well booked because at the end of the day, even though Ospreay lost, his debut to New Japan showed that that kid can go. And the reaction he got from that crowd was fantastic and well deserved.
And so Tokyo is usually like a really tough crowd if they have no idea who you are. They'll sit on their hands for the whole match. Like look at Michael Elgin, his first night in the G1. He got no reaction. Mm-hmm. Like no one knew who he was and no one cared. Even like the didn't Michael Elgin wrestle Jay Lethal at the Tokyo Dome and like it was very, very quiet because no one knew who they were.
Yeah.
It can be like that in Tokyo if they have no idea who you are. And if you get that crowd moving and making noise, then you've done something.
Absolutely. And he definitely did something. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with him. If he's going to be around for a while, I don't know.
He's in Chaos. They're doing like he's in the six man with Los Ingobernables against I think it's Okada, Ishii, and Will Ospreay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, he's here for a while. I think he got a 1 year deal. I think I'm not 100% sure.
I'm surprised he only got a one year deal.
Well, they like their 1 year deals in New Japan. Yeah.
Well, they've been moving towards the 2 year deals because of that raid that WWE pulled on them. So
right.
With Elgin getting a 2 year contract, Shibata getting a 2 year, I think Tanahashi got a 2 year. A couple of other folks.
I think Okada got like 5 years, didn't he?
Did he? I wouldn't be surprised.
I think that's what I heard. They're really scared of losing Okada.
I don't think he will jump ship unless WWE really, really pulls out the checkbook, but I don't think they're going to do that anytime soon. They don't really have a need to.
I think if they wanted to, they would. I mean, tall guy that speaks English and he's Japanese. If you speak more than one language in WWE, you're golden.
Yeah, but I think right now WWE has their full on foreign talent.
Oh yeah. So moving on, we got the Never Six Man Title Championship. All right, so it's the Elite, Kenny Omega, Nick Jackson, and Matt Jackson, and Young Bucks with Cody Hall defending against Tanahashi, Michael Elgin, and the Bullet Club Hunter Yoshitatsu.
Yeah. The return of Tatsu.
Yeah, I was excited. Love Yoshitatsu.
Yeah, it was good to see him back in the ring. I did like that they went early on trying to pull off the Styles Clash.
Yeah, that was pretty much the story of the match.
Yeah.
Trying to murder Yoshitatsu.
Jesus. Yeah.
And Nick Jackson does the Swanton off the entranceway a la Jeff Hardy Royal Rumble and almost kills Cody Hall because he does it on the big pile of everybody.
Yeah, poor Cody. He was down for a while.
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember how the finish went because it's been so long since I watched it.
Yeah. So I believe it came down to the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. They keep the guys separated and they're focusing on Tatsu. And I believe Elgin catches one of the Young Bucks when they're trying to do the Meltzer driver off of the top rope.
That's right. Because he caught Nick Jackson in the middle of a 450 and power bombs him.
Yeah. And then he went for an Elgin bomb, I think off the top rope and pinned him for the three.
Yep. That's exactly what happened. So new never open weight six man tag team champions, longest title in history. Okay, so next up, Shibata and Tenzan for the never open weight championship. I love Shibata. I've always loved Tenzan since like WCW. He had all his old army buddies with him at ringside.
Yeah, I like the opening promo, the package.
Yeah.
Telling that story of Tenzan being part of the third generation old school dudes.
I love that the old guys have a faction now. I think that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
The grizzled old man.
Yeah, Shibata is...
And Shibata's now the legend killer, so...
Oh, yeah, he's so badass. He is what Randy Orton should have been.
Yeah. He's what everyone in wrestling should aspire to be.
Yeah, just pissed off and mean and a killer.
Yeah, nothing fancy. Just kick people in the chest a bunch of times and kick them in the face to win.
Yeah, and it's funny, too. I don't know if you've noticed this, but have you ever seen the difference between when you see him at ringside with a shirt and when he's in the ring without a shirt? He ages like 20 years without a shirt. For some reason, he looks like he's 12 when he's wearing a shirt. The moment you take that shirt off, he looks like a terrifying man. It's...
I don't think I've ever noticed. It's probably because, like, I probably think he's just like Shohei Kamatsu or somebody at ringside. I just don't pay attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, this match was pretty good. Tenzan is still really, really good, even though he can barely walk because of all those moonsaults. But Tenzan's always been awesome.
Yeah, those headbutts were real gross. Especially when Tenzan just no-sold him. He's like, you think you're going to headbutt me? Look at me.
But finish came with a rear naked choke into the penalty kick. Awesome. Yep. And then Yuji Nagata, one of the best wrestlers of all time, came in to make the challenge to him for the NEVER title.
Well, the way that happened was amazing. When all the third generation dudes are there trying to help Tenzan make sure he's okay, and Shibata, like a badass, just walks up in front of him while he's laying down, and he's holding the belt, and he just, like, you know, he bows in respect to Tenzan. Then he just turns and kicks Shibata right in the face, and I was like, yes, yes, this guy rules.
Dude, every time Nagata kicks someone, I wince, because his kicks are hard.
Oh, yeah.
His kicks are so hard. Like, his match with, like, Nakamura, was that last year? Last year. That match was insane. But yeah, Nagata's been awesome for, even at his old age, he just gets better and better.
I agree. I kind of wish that feud between him and Nakamura lasted longer.
I wish he would have got one title run out of that and then had Nakamura chase him.
I agree. I think they kind of messed up with him going against Goto. Yeah. But.
Goto's okay. He's like a guy that has really cool moves, but doesn't really have great matches.
Yeah, no, I have more to say about him once we get to the match later with him.
We passed his match.
Oh, did we?
His second match, yeah.
Right, no, I was going to say, Goto was getting booed during that match.
Oh, yeah.
Surprised me. Like, he was getting what I remember Naito getting heat when he was being pushed as a face. It was really surprising. So I'm wondering, like, oh, what are they going to do with that? And because the way New Japan books are actually, like, responsive to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's about it. So I'm interested to see where they go with that.
He could possibly turn on Chaos.
Yeah, possibly. I don't see him joining a heel stable, though. But, you know, maybe him just being a tweener would be cool. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Anyway. I mean, isn't Chaos technically a heel stable?
Are they? I don't think they are.
I thought they were, kind of, sort of. Like, compared to, like, the regular Army, because the regular Army are legitimate baby faces, like the Tanahashi crew, and the third generation are definitely baby faces. But, like, you got, like, Yano and Ishii, who are kind of heels, but it's not as black and white as it is in America.
Yeah, I would say Yano, although he plays heel, it's almost like comedy heel, so the fans like it.
Of course.
So... I don't know. I don't really think of Yano as being a heel. He's just like a weird fool who, you know, does dirty tricks to win because he's not very good in the ring.
Do you have his DVD?
No, I don't have his DVD.
I probably would buy it if they would ship it to America. Just because he's always advertising and I might as well. And I've seen, like, the clips of it, like the trailer. I think it's on New Japan World, where they're, like, hanging around drinking and stuff and pulling pranks at night when everybody's sleeping. Similar to that Liger pinning people while they sleep thing.
Yeah, no, that's great. what was it? Who kicked out, like, at one?
Tanahashi.
Tanahashi? Of course.
Makabe kicked out at two.
Oh, yeah. Makabe's face when he got up was great.
Homa, he just stayed down because he was naked. He didn't want to be exposed. But speaking of Makabe and Hama, the Great Bad Shield defending their titles against God, Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa. I'm not sure. Because they said Tangaloa, but the English key on the screen said Tangaroa, and this Wikipedia page says Tangaroa.
Yeah, I think it's Loa.
Okay. So Tama and his brother, Camacho.
Yeah.
So they're getting their shot at the Great Bad Shield. And I didn't really watch this match. It was kind of that lull waiting for the main event.
Sure.
I watched some of it, but Tama Tonga's awesome. Hanma's awesome. Makabe's fine. I don't know if Tonga Roll is bad, but he's not great.
It was a good match.
Yeah, it was a fine match.
Yeah, I think being in that spot on the card is not going to be good for them unless they can really pull out a crazy match.
Yeah.
I do like the tag team. I like the name, too. Gorillas of Destiny. That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. That's sick. And they won. They got the win on...
an inverted magic killer.
Yeah. Really, really, really cool. So they're pretty much taking the place of Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah, I wish they came up with a different finisher. That's just me being picky, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that they'll find something, but I think they wanted something that the fans would recognize as their finish.
Right.
Because Tama has been using, the gun stun and doing, machine gun poses. So he's pretty much trying to take that place of Carl Anderson. And maybe he gets a good G-run.
I always found that weird, though, because I know Taguchi, earlier in that tag match, he came out, and he's been doing this for a while since Nakamura left.
Oh, the Nakamura thing?
Doing the whole fake Nakamura thing, right. Yeah. And I don't know if I'm supposed to like this or if I'm supposed to boo this. I don't know. So
I'm going
to
go with boo it.
Okay.
He's the king of Oh My Garfunkel, according to his shirts.
Good God. That's amazing.
Whatever that means.
Wow. Okay. He is the funky weapon. So fine. Whatever.
Yeah, the funky weapon. So the main event, Kazuchika Okada, our IWGP heavyweight champion of the world, defending against Tetsuya Naito of Los Ingobernables. Damn. This fucking match. We went 30 minutes of just awesomeness.
It's a great match. The crowd was so loud. So loud.
I haven't seen Okada pull out the red ink in a while, and he pulled it out in this match.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet. What's that?
Did it get a loud response? I don't remember it getting much of a response.
It got a response from me in my living room, so that got a lot.
No, I think what it was is it didn't get much of a response because of what you pointed out, that he hasn't really used it much.
Yeah, he used to win matches with it, but he hasn't really pulled it out. But it was awesome. I mean, there was a lot of interference, referee getting knocked around. And then we had Seiya Sonata out of fucking nowhere coming in, joining the team, attacking Okada. Okada still came back. He went for a Rainmaker. Naito reversed it, hit his weird acai DDT finisher that I can never remember the name of.
Destino.
What is it? Destino? Okay. Destino.
Destino.
He got the 1-2-3, and I freaked out. I did not expect Okada to lose the belt, but it was awesome, and everybody went crazy.
Yeah, I was surprised for sure because the way they were booking Los Ingobernables for a while was basically they were losing every match. Yeah. Every match. And Naito losing a lot of matches. So I don't even know how he got a title shot, to be honest, other than the J Cup, and I don't know why he won the J Cup. But
New Japan Cup.
The New Japan Cup.
He was my pick to win. I kind of called that he was going to win the New Japan Cup because they really don't have a lot of main eventers, and you don't want to go straight back to Tanahashi.
Yeah.
So I said, he's the one that makes the most sense. He's going to win the New Japan Cup. I had no idea he was going to win the title. But this makes it a lot more opportunistic for him to have different challengers. Like, he's going to be facing Ishii next.
Yeah, he's going to be a good, you know, chaseable heel champion.
Yeah, until I'm guessing, I'm trying to think, what's the next big show before the G1? I say he holds a title through G1 and wrestles Tanahashi at King of Pro Wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm betting.
You don't think he's going to get a rematch with Okada?
He might, but I don't know. I'm trying to think, because I don't want to see Okada and Tanahashi at the Dome again. We've seen that like 4 out of the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to see that again, but I don't know. I could really see a really good Tanahashi and Naito match, whether you do that at the Dome or you do that at King of Pro Wrestling in November.
Hmm. Okay. What else?
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
No, I had nothing to say. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, who other than Tanahashi and the obvious former champion would be a viable contender?
I mean, you can do the match with Goto, because that's a rematch from the Tokyo Dome of last year. You can elevate Kenny Omega. I'm looking at the roster right now and trying to see. Shibata possibly could get there. Because Shibata and Naito would be an awesome match in a main event level.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Shibata.
So if Shibata loses the title to Nagata and faces Naito, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all.
Yeah, I don't know where the Neverway title plays into, you know, their position on the card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you hold the Neverweight, does that mean you will maybe get a shot at the IC belt? Does that mean?
I don't think it does. It's really just another belt. It's kind of like the lowest belt that they have in terms of like the position on the card. Probably just above the junior heavyweight, maybe at the same level, okay. But it's pretty much just the belt. It's not that important. They could make it important, but it's really not at this moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Shibata is doing good things with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Shibata can do good things anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, more so than Ishii, and that's not a slight on Ishii. I think it's more at Shibata's age, he can do more stuff with it.
Yeah. And his skill set. Ishii's a little bit more limited than like Shibata.
Yeah. There's only so many matches you can watch of Ishii doing the same
so,
spot.
So many headbutts.
Right.
And forearms and no selling.
Yeah, which is why him and Makabe, when they feuded, it was just like just a mirror fighting a mirror. You know, just like the same. Now, and then I'm going to elbow you, and then clothesline, headbutt, clothesline. Forearm, clothesline. Look, I just made a match. I just booked a match for Makabe.
That is a very much a Makabe Ishii match. But the post-match on this main event was awesome, where he just throws the belt in the air and leaves.
So good.
Yeah. So we have a full-fledged faction now. Go ahead.
I was going to say, he attacked Red Shoes, too.
He did. He drop-kicked the shit out of the referee.
Like, Red Shoes is trying to give him the title, and he bows at him, and then he just kicks him. It's like, I know you're trying to do heel stuff, but you kicking Red Shoes makes me think you're trying to be a babyface at the same time. I don't know.
Red Shoes is a beloved official.
His officiating is a little questionable sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. But
yeah, he just threw it in the air like it was garbage. I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
He doesn't give a fuck about your belt. He's just here to say that he's better than everybody. And while he's better than everybody, he doesn't give a fuck about anything. He he's just here because he's awesome, and you just got to deal with it. Naito is world champion.
What I love about Naito and like his stable now is basically they are what the Job Squad would be if the Job Squad was awesome.
Totally, totally. Because like he had Bushi, who never really did anything. I mean, that's another junior heavyweight we got that's Japanese, but he never really did anything. And he has this weird Rey Mysterio mask. It's like, I don't know. And then you got Watanabe, who was nobody, like, at all. And now you got Sonata, who's coming from All Japan and, like, Wrestle 1 and TNA.
Yeah.
Just to show up. And I don't know what he's going to do, but we'll see what comes in the next coming shows.
Didn't Sonata have a match, like, the night before in, I think, Wrestle 1?
I know, like, he had some stuff with Big Japan.
Oh, it was a big... He had a match the night before at a different promotion. And so him showing up was like, you can hear the crowd just go dead quiet because they had no idea what to do with that information.
I didn't recognize him because I remember in TNA, his hair was like longer.
Yeah.
He kind of had that Ibushi hair.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked like a badass.
Yeah, he looked like a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was quite awesome. So we'll see what Sonata does going forward. Hopefully he can do some crazy things. I don't remember him being anything special watching him in TNA. I mean, he's a guy. All Japanese wrestlers are awesome. But I don't remember him doing anything special.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with his matches because I didn't really watch TNA. The only TNA I've ever watched is like the earlier matches with Joe and Styles.
Yeah, when TNA was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Oh, and R-Truth's run. Or not R-Truth, what am I saying? Jay Lethal, sorry. R-Truth, you know, TNA champ. No,
he was TNA champ.
Was he? Oh, that was a joke. Oh, crap, yeah, okay.
He was like one of the first champions like in 2002 when they first started. Yeah. I think he was the second one after Ken Shamrock.
Gotcha.
I think he beat Shamrock.
Shamrock was in TNA?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You gotta go back and watch those old TNA Asylum shows.
Oh. Okay. I won't, but okay.
Well, yeah, so that is New Japan's Invasion Attack of 2016. JB, do you have anything you would like to plug? Your Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, MySpace.
SoundCloud.
If you have SoundCloud.
You can find me in my live journal. No. I have a website, jbroe.com. That's jbroe.com. You can also find me at prowrestlingtees.com/thebiglg. From the backyards to the big league. No, I'm just kidding. social media. Let's see. Instagram. I'm on Twitter, all under the same handle. Mort Crimp Jr. That's MORTCRIMPJR. So find me on those social media platforms. And I'm on Twitter occasionally. So, you know, tweet at me if you want to talk about wrestling or comics or whatever.
Yeah. You can find us, this show, on Twitter at Rock Wrestling PC. If you have any questions or you would like to review a New Japan or Lucha Underground show with me, rockwrestlingpodcast@gmail.com. That's how you can contact us. Rockwrestlingpodcast.podomatic.com. We're available on iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher Radio, anywhere you find podcasts. We are available there. And that's pretty much our show. We have nothing else to talk about. We got that done in under an hour. JB, thank you so much for coming on the show. We have to do this again next sometime.
Oh yeah, I'd be more than happy to come back. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Maybe after, because we're both going to Ring of Honor World of Worlds, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen the card?
Did they release the card? I thought they just released some names and that was it.
They released some matches.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
What's
Before
the main
we go, I'm going to go over the four matches that have been announced. Yeah. Jay Lethal versus Colt Cabana for the world title.
Oh, okay.
Naito versus Kyle O'Reilly for the IWGP title. Yeah. Ishii versus Bobby Fish for the TV title.
Oh, okay.
And War Machine versus the Briscoe Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's the four matches that have been announced. Hopefully some more stuff is going to be announced. I think Okada is teaming up with Moose. So we're going to see.
He likes Moose.
Yeah.
That match he had, though, with Moose was not good. I'm sorry. I'm surprised they're working together because, oh, man, that match was hard to watch.
Well, it is Moose. So, guys, I just want to thank you all for listening. If you did listen, and tell your friends, shout out to Big Nigger Jim. We know you're listening. And for JB Roll, I'm Tyler Black. This has been another episode of The Rock and Wrestling Podcast. Are you hurting too? I'm desperate. So desperate. But I won't get my hopes up. I'll just get on my